The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After entering a boat, Jesus made the crossing and came into his own town. And there people brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Courage, child, your sins are forgiven." At that, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your stretcher and go home." He rose and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were struck with awe and glorified God who had given such authority to men. The Gospel of the Lord. This country, there's actually a special mass for our country, which I've chosen to pray. And if you listen to the opening prayer, very beautiful, very beautiful. I'd like to take one word from that and develop a thought on that and then move into the other readings. And today we're called to give thanksgiving. We've got Thanksgiving in November, but also day like today, we should give thanksgiving to God for so many blessings. So many blessings. The fact that we're living in this country, that we have to thank God. This country is not perfect. We've got many, many, many problems and serious moral problems, right? Especially abortion. I mean, abortion is a very serious problem. We have to keep praying that one day there will be no abortion in the world, starting with this country. However, this is a country with many, many blessings. So thank God. Okay, I would invite all of you, because also it's a day, it's a family day. Probably most of you are going to be going home after this, maybe having a barbecue or cookout or something in your family. I would invite all of you, before you sit down, thank God, say a prayer of blessing. Then, okay, everyone in the family should tell God thank you for something, starting with the little one, okay, the teenage daughter, the older one, mom and dad. Amen? Okay, do that. You hear me? So try to do that. It's just going to take an extra minute in your, before you know, dig into the hamburgers or the hot dogs or the whatever it might be, no? But I would suggest that you do that. It's difficult to be sad or in desolation when we thank God. It is. I tell people when they go going through desolation, spend 5 minutes thanking God. And the desolation, it disappears. It disappears. So let's thank God that this country has so much. Okay, you people, myself too, let's make it a better country. Amen? Amen? And the best way to make it a better country is right now, let's all make the firm commitment we're all going to become great saints. Amen? That's the way to make the country better, okay? Not to be a millionaire or have a new car or a nice house in Beverly Hills. No. The best way to make this country better is when all of us decide to become great saints. Amen? Okay, the first reading today is, in the Bible, one of the most mysterious readings in the Bible. And theologians have talked about this. How could God the Father tell Abraham to kill his son? It's a mystery, isn't it? We battle with this. We as priests, we have theological debates on this passage. It's a tough passage, isn't it? You're going to say, well, God didn't, Moses wasn't born, so we didn't have the Ten Commandments yet. Okay, I've heard that, okay? But that is one of what is called, in theology, the first principles we know we shouldn't kill anyone. Even before the Ten Commandments, that's in natural law, as well as the first principles, you don't kill someone. But the whole idea behind this is that Abraham symbolizes God the Father. Isaac symbolizes God the Son. Got that? Irene, got that? Okay, what is Isaac doing? He's climbing a hill, that's Calvary. What does he have on his back? What did Jesus have on his back? What happened to Jesus? Was he sacrificed? Say yes, Father. Okay. Isaac was about to be sacrificed, so that is a symbol of Jesus and the sacrifice of Calvary. Okay? And one more step. It's a symbol of the Mass that I'm celebrating right now. Yes. Hello? Every time we celebrate the Mass, it's called the sacrifice of Calvary. So right now, I'm reliving what you heard 4,000 years ago when Abraham was about to offer his son Isaac. So read through it again with the eyes of faith, with some of the ideas that I've given to you, and to be thankful that we can have the fruit of Calvary in this Mass by receiving the Eucharist. Amen? I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. I love that, don't you? I'll walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. You're doing that right now in St. Peter Chanel. Amen? I'll walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. You're doing it right now. You're in the land of the living because God is the one who is life, and he's there in the tabernacle right now. This is the land of the living. Right there. That's God. So you're walking in the presence of the Lord in the land of living. Therefore, always have great respect for the church. Unless there's an emergency, it's good not to talk in the church, dress modestly, make a good genuflection, make the sign of the cross, try to pay attention in Mass. Don't bring your cell phones in church. Do you hear me? Okay? So try to be respectful in the house of God. Be respectful. This is the house of God. Listen, do any of you do the Liturgy of the Hours? Man, the first reading today? Wow. What happened? They're transporting the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is being swayed because of the wind. One of the sons of the high priest lifts up his hand to stable the Ark of the Covenant, and God strikes him dead. Wow. That was just a symbol of the Blessed Sacrament. A symbol. You've got the Blessed Sacrament here. What is the Bible saying? What respect we should have for the house of God and what respect we should have for the Blessed Sacrament. That was just a symbol. I'll give you an example. If I went to your house, and there was a picture of your wife and I punch it with my fist, would you like that? How about if I punched her in the nose in Rio? Got the analogy? Punching a picture is one thing, but punching the person in the nose, that's the real thing. We've got the real thing here. Have respect. And I think one of the biggest problems in the church today is that in many churches, they've lost respect for the real presence. You ever hear of Cardinal Ratzinger? He said this, when we start to lose respect for the liturgy, then our moral lives fall apart. Wow. I'll repeat. Once we start to lose respect for the liturgy, our moral lives fall apart. What a theological reflection of Ratzinger, huh? Do you see the connection? Hello? It's this. If we're lacking in respect to the liturgy in the Eucharist, we are depriving ourselves of graces. If we do not have special graces, we're going to fall where? Into sin. That's what Cardinal Ratzinger was trying to say. Not trying to say, he said. We lose respect for the Mass in the liturgy, morally we're going to become slaves to sin. Slaves to sin. That brings us to the Gospel. The paralytic. Many interpretations. The paralytic was the guy that couldn't walk 2,000 years ago. But also, I am a paralytic and you are too. That's a symbol of the fact that we're all sinners. Sometimes when I'm driving a car, I tell the people I'm with, I can park in the handicap zone. Why? You look like you're pretty healthy. No. I'm a moral paralytic, I'm a sinner. Probably not going to fly, no? What would happen if a policeman called, what is your limitation? I'm a sinner, I'm a moral paralytic. So that paralytic was a person 2,000 years ago, but we are paralytics too. But good news, there is a doctor in the house, and that doctor is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.